Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Spring Film Festival season continues through June with Toronto's Japanese Film Festival and the Toronto Jewish Film Festival, both showing films for another week. Also on now is the Future of Film Showcase, Canada's premier festival for short films, which also has panels, coffee sessions, and workshops covering everything from casting to funding, from locations to issues like equity. But this week, I'm looking at three new movies about people forced to play games. There's a prisoner playing chess in World War II Vienna, another prisoner in present-day America in a secretive facility forced to play mind games, and a detective playing cat and mouse with a murderer 10 years after an earthquake in Japan.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful.
Spiderhead, directed by Joseph Kosinski. He directed Top Gun Maverick. Jeff, played by Miles Teller, is an inmate in a remote high-security prison. Located inside a brutalist cement building on a placid lake, it can only be reached by boat or pontoon prop plane. But inside, it's a virtual paradise. Doors are kept unlocked, prisoners chat while sitting on colorful sofas and eating canapes, and they're free to pursue their favorite pastimes. They can even become friends with other prisoners, like Lizzie, played by Journey Smollett. No violence or distrust here. The benevolent warden Steve, played by Chris Hemsworth, makes sure of that. So what's the catch? Well, all the prisoners are kept placid by a little gadget attached to their bodies, which, through remote control, releases chemical compounds directly into their bloodstreams, which controls their moods. They're also forced to attend sessions, controlled by Steve and his assistant behind a glass wall, where they test the potency of their experimental pharmaceuticals. Sometimes it's as simple as making the prisoners laugh at deliberately unfunny jokes. Other times, they're placed in the room with a stranger, a female prisoner in Jeff's case, to see if drugs can make them so thirsty and the other one appear so attractive, it's like beer goggles times 1,000, that they can't help having sex in the room on the spot. But things take a sinister turn when Jeff is taken behind the glass wall in order to remotely inject painful drugs into other prisoners' bodies. Can Jeff resist the psychological and chemical pressures put on him? What are Chris's true motives behind these experiments? And is there anything Jeff can do to stop him? Spiderhead, the title refers to the name of the prison, is a sci-fi psychological thriller, both about the dangers of pharmaceuticals and whether we can resist authority if it goes against our fundamental beliefs. The film seems to be partly based on the Milgram experiment of the 1960s, where volunteers behind a glass wall were ordered to send increasingly painful electric shocks to actors pretending to be patients on the other side. In Spiderhead, it's taken to even greater extremes. Okay, so is this movie any good? Well, it's not bad. I actually enjoyed watching it. I saw it on a big screen. Love the location and sets. It's shot in Australia. Like the cheesy 1980s soundtrack and the fun concepts, along with some watching huge movie stars. But the ending is as predictable as it is implausible. Concept's a lot better in the story here. But if you just want to be entertained for a couple hours, you could do much worse. Chess Story, or Schach Novella, directed by Philippe Sturzel. It's 1939 in Vienna, and Josef Bartok, played by Oliver Masucci, is living the high life. He's always dressed in formal black and white, and only the finest scotch and the best cigarettes ever pass through his lips. He loves telling jokes with his friends and waltzing with his beloved wife, Anna. As long as the Viennese keep dancing, what could go wrong? But that night, Nazi soldiers march into Austria declaring Anschluss. It's all one Reich now. Jacob springs into action, scanning through his ledgers and memorizing the codes before throwing the books into a blazing fire. You see, his only job is to keep the riches of the Austrian royalty safe from the Nazis in numbered Swiss bank accounts. He's the only one who knows the numbers and the codes. Hours later, he's arrested, but not killed by the Gestapo and locked in a hotel room. If he tells them the numbers, they say, they'll let him go. They just want the money. But solitary confinement can play tricks with your brain. He stays alive only by studying a chess book he smuggled into his room. Later, he's released and he's on a ship with Anna heading to America and freedom. But he can't resist playing chess against Mirko, an unusual world chess champion on board the ship, who is illiterate and can barely form a sentence. But reality begins to warp and twist, and he can't help wondering if he's still on a ship or still a captive of the Nazis. And where is this chess game really taking place? Chess Story is a historical drama by Stefan Zweig, the last thing he ever wrote. He died during the war in Brazil, not Austria, but clearly he was damaged emotionally before he left. Everything you see in this film is filtered through Josef's mind, so you're never quite sure what is real and what is imaginary. Oliver Masucci, who plays him, is excellent, portraying a man's descent from carefree joker to broken soul. Feels almost like a Twilight Zone episode, but with the emphasis not on the twists, but on the characters. Interesting movie. In the Wake, Mamurare nakatta mono tachi e, directed by Zeze Takahisa. Detective Tomashino, played by Abe Hiroshi, is a policeman in northeastern Japan. He's investigating the mysterious death of two middle-aged men, both found starved to death in different locations. Is there a connection? Is there a serial killer out there? And if so, what are his motives? Turns out the dead men both worked out of the same local welfare office. So he turns to a young welfare caseworker named Mikiko, played by Kiyohara Kaya, to help him put the pieces together. This is also the site of a mammoth earthquake and tsunami 10 years earlier. The detective remembers it well because he lost both his wife and his son. Now he's a loner who has yet to deal with his losses. Meanwhile, Tone, played by Sato Takeru, a troubled young man, just out of prison for arson, gets a job in a welding factory. And he wants to get in touch with his former makeshift family, he met after the earthquake, a little kid and an elderly woman named Kei, played by Baisho Mitsuko, who cared for the two lost orphans. But things have clearly changed. Could they have driven him to murder? In the Wake is a Japanese drama set immediately after an earthquake and also one decade later. While it's ostensibly a police procedural about a detective trying to catch a killer, it's also a surprisingly powerful and moving drama that takes it much, much deeper than your usual mystery. It shifts back and forth between the two period of time, the earthquake and the present, as all the major characters were also survivors of the quake. And it delves into the terrible inadequacies of Japan's austerity cutbacks to their already inadequate welfare state. The movie features Abe Hiroshi, a huge star from Koreeda's films, Baisho Mitsuko, who is in movies by the most famous Japanese directors, Kurosawa and Imamura, and Sato Takeru, who's best known for the Rurouni Kenshin series. I was expecting something simple and I lucked into a really good movie instead. Spiderhead is now streaming on Netflix. Chess Story is now playing digitally at the Toronto Jewish Film Festival. And In the Wake is playing at the other TJFF, the Toronto Japanese Film Festival, one day only, June 25th, at the Japanese Canadian Cultural Center. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.